Welcome to NaNoWriMo Every Month. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer. I'm the author of some 20 books, 34 short stories, and numerous articles and other things, and I am your guide on this journey to use NaNoWriMo to level up to professional output levels. Welcome to The Questions, Episode 17. Today I've got a question from Robert, and he asks, I'm about four-fifths through my 100,000-word estimated story length, and about half of the way through my story. I don't feel my scenes are particularly long. In fact, I've been wondering if they were a little short. I've been using the word count to help motivate me, and I'm not sure what to do when I exceed it, but I still have much to write. And implicit but not stated is, help! Well, Robert, this is the peril of taking your estimated length too seriously. This has happened to me on a number of books, particularly on Free Will, Silent Victor, and He Ain't Heavy. They all wound up being at least twice as long as I expected them to be from the outset. And that doesn't even count the short stories that escaped. My entire Clark Lantham series, and my entire Suave Rob series, and my entire space opera series that used to be called Antithesis and is going to be rebranded this year. All of those come from escaped short stories. Sometimes you have ideas that have a lot more story in them than you thought when you first thought of the idea. And I at least haven't yet found a way to reliably predict how long a story is going to be. Sometimes my estimates are right. Sometimes my estimates are very, very wrong. I'm probably right more than I'm wrong, but the error rate is high enough that I've learned not to get really upset if I'm wrong. In this instance, what you want to do is write the story through to its conclusion and don't worry about how long it takes. When you get to the end, you have a few choices, and how you weigh those choices is going to depend on how long the book is. You can go back to the beginning and cycle through and note redundant information. In a lot of really long books, it's very common for there to be a lot of redundancy, particularly if you're switching between viewpoints, because every time you're conveying information through a viewpoint, you as a writer are cementing yourself down. And what you want to look for is redundancies you notice as a reader, not reading critically, but reading for fun, reading to explore what you've just written. And when you note things that it seems like I've heard that before, you make a note in the margin to flag things for taking out so that you can compactify and streamline it without breaking it or rewriting it. A second approach, which is something you will really want to think about if you're a very clean writer, then that first approach isn't going to give you a lot to pull out. And if you're what Christine Catherine Rush calls an adder inner, going through that second time, your manuscript is going to grow even more because you're going to basically be cycling through the manuscript again, thinking creatively, and you're going to be spotting opportunities for making things even better by adding in new scenes and moments and that sort of thing. So if you're a taker-outer, that first approach could work very well for you. If you're a taker-outer is someone who overwrites and then pares down. If you're an adder-inner, which is someone who writes fairly thin and then goes in and fleshes things out, then that's going to net you a much longer book. So and that first approach won't work for you. But an approach that might work is looking at the book as a whole and figuring out if you can break it in half. There's two different ways to break a book in half. One is that you find some natural ending, natural cliffhanger on the midpoint of the book, and you chop it, and you say, this is book one, this is book two, these are the first two books in a series, or this is a two-book series. This is how Lord of the Rings was written. It was written as one single book, and then Tolkien's publisher says, we're not going to pay to publish a 1,200-word book. No one will buy it. You need to break this into three novels, and we'll make it a series. So Tolkien went back, and he found the natural breakpoints in the storytelling rhythm, and he broke the book into three parts. And that's a very good option, particularly if you're running seriously north of 120,000 words, because 120,000 words is a fat book. And once you get north of that, you start to get into epically fat Tom Clancy, Brandon Sanderson book territory. So you can break it that way. Or you can take the threads, if it's a multi-viewpoint story, you can take the threads and pull them apart and publish the book from character A's point of view, and then the book from character B's point of view. And this, in a two-part book, may not work well, but if there's going to be a sequel that brings these points of view together, that could work very well. Now, there is a third approach, and this is the approach that I've taken with some of my longer books, because I could not find a good breakpoint, and because disentangling the threads did not work, and because when I cycled back through, I found myself adding in instead of taking out. Because there is a lot of story in my longest book, which was Free Will and will soon be retitled The Vindicators. There was a lot of story there. There was so much story there that after 5 beta readers scanning through looking for any signs of redundancy that we could cut out, and me cycling back through twice, the manuscript got longer. And so I wound up publishing, as was, a 223,000 word book. For those of you used to thinking in page counts, that's an 800 to 900 page book, depending on how you lay it out. Not exactly short or digestible. But there was nothing else to do with that book. There wasn't a good place to break it up. Well, okay, there were good places to break it up, but I would have had to break it up into 5 books, which meant I would have to completely restructure the way I was doing the whole series. And this is a long series with a definite endpoint, and I decided I wasn't willing to do that, so I released it in the one big chunk. Now, the hell of it is, the book is so structured, and this gets back to your uncertainty about short scenes, the book is so structured that it reads fast. It's twice the length of book one in the same series, and it reads in half the time, because the plot moves so fast, and one of the reasons it moves so fast is that most of the chapters are really short. There are the occasional big chapters with big scenes, and those are the set pieces. And I didn't do this on purpose. This is the way the story came together. But because of that structure, that moves the reader through the story very fast and very efficiently. So you're wondering if your scenes are too short. Don't worry about that. The longer your book is, the smaller the bite-sized chunks you generally want if you're looking to move people through fast. People tend to bog down. This is an advanced pacing technique. People tend to bog down in long scenes or long paragraphs. When you're telegraphing them to them by the shape of the words on the page that this is long, they're more likely to say, oh, I don't have time for this whole chunk right now. I'll put this down and come back to it later when I've got more time to read. Whereas if the chunks you're feeding them are small, they'll be sitting in their chair, they'll be like, oh, I can do one more. Oh, I can do one more. And that's one of the things that goes into helping to keep them up all night reading a book when they should be sleeping so they can go to work in the morning. So don't worry about your scenes being too short. The only thing you may want to concentrate on, though, if you're building your skill set, is concentrate on the way you're ending those scenes, because you want the end of each scene to catapult the reader forward, not to bring them to enough of a rest that they're willing to put down your book. And that involves practicing your cliffhangers, learning to feel when a scene is going on one beat too long or not. In fact, I don't know how applicable this will be because many of you aren't filmmakers and weren't, but one of the exercises that helped me learn scene end timing, when I was learning film editing, I watched films that were badly edited where they shot a good film and they released a bad film. And they released a bad film. Almost always one of the things that makes a bad film is by hanging on to the ends of scenes too long, by playing out one or two too many beats, and leaving the audience at the end of a scene either fully satisfied or annoyed that they've had to stay in that place for too long. A classic example of this is the theatrical release of Attack of the Clones, the second Star Wars prequel. They shot a pretty decent movie. They released a pretty bad movie. And the same is true with Star Wars. If you watch the original 3-hour cut, which is really hard to get a hold of, but you can hear sort of what it would have felt like in the Star Wars radio dramas. The first cut of Star Wars was such a disaster that George Lucas actually tried to abandon it before his wife Marcia said, no, let me take a cut at it. And she went back and she trimmed it way down from 3.5 hours to under 2 hours. And that gave you that really snappy, wonderful film. Attack of the Clones was the same thing. It was a big, bloated thing, and because Lucas's strength isn't editing, and he was supervising the edit a lot more closely, the result in Attack of the Clones were much more like you got in the original cut of Star Wars. I mean pre-theatrical, where the emotions were awkward and the timing was bad and the jokes were flat. Whereas if you send a good editor in, like if he had hired Walter Murch, to go into that film and recut it, editing in film is a creative process. He would have gotten out of it a really good film, or at least a pretty good film, if not a really good film. And that's a discursion that probably won't make sense to most of you because I've had a weird life, but it's what I got to draw on. But when you're writing a long book and you're wanting to move people through, short scenes are really good. Ending those scenes at the right time is one of the most important tools for moving people through a long book, and it's worth learning that skill on its own. Practicing it as much as possible. Study cliffhanger endings in serial television shows. Study cliffhanger endings with writers that do it very, very well. And practice every time you get white space, whether it's the end of a chapter or whether it's a perspective shift or whether it's a time break in your book. You want to leave your reader aching to find out more. If you're holding at that one extra line to do the gut punch or the poetic flourish or whatnot, and you're doing that at the expense of the reader's momentum, you may want to rethink that, at least if you're writing long books that you want to move readers through quickly. Personal opinion, take it or leave it for what it's worth, and I'll see you tomorrow. NaNoWriMo Every Month is written and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and produced by Artistic Whispers Productions. Visit our website at NaNoWriMoEveryMonth.com and leave a tip in the tip jar to support this podcast. NaNoWriMo Every Month is copyright 2015 by J. Daniel Sawyer and Artistic Whispers Productions and released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License.